Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery on 104.5 The Zone from Nash Severe WX on Twitter. A must follow if you're in Davidson County or Williamson County. They do a great job keeping you updated with what's going on. With regard to the weather, they write very heavy rain and cloud to ground lightning moving in along I-40 on the way into town. And so we were talking with Dave McGinnis, Coach Mack, Titans radio analyst.
Hey, tell him what you told me. I mean, you were giving me some good weather stuff.
We were talking
looking
about
at this map here, and you're talking about circle hooks and circle hooks and button hooks and coming around and
flash blocks,
and magenta colors. Yeah. I looked at that thing because I got no idea what I'm looking at, but you said it's not good.
Dude, you've seen some crazy weather in West Texas, I'm sure.
You think? Yeah, yeah. We didn't have colored stuff. We just knew when the cows were
pulled up the radar. Yeah.
Wasn't it flat as a pancake though, and you could just watch it coming towards
you? Look, when the cattle started getting under the mesquite tree, you knew something was happening. Right. You know, I promise you, I could read those signs.
You're like,
this stuff right here, I mean.
You're like, the heck with the guy on television. What's going to happen? Yeah, I'm looking at the cattle under the mesquite tree.
You said magenta, and I know that's one of those colors in that big crayon box. I had no idea which one that is, but that looks nasty.
You said
it's like somebody ate a box of crayons and barfed.
Well, I pulled up the radar, and Coach Matt goes, I have no idea what I'm looking at. I'm like, well, if you see magenta, that's probably not good. Also, there's these things called hook echoes.
Yeah, the button hooks.
Yes, okay. That's where you could potentially find tornadic activity.
Well, this is a guy who's driving around in the pickup truck set to the metric system, right?
Yes,
now.
He's got kilometers per hour.
Yes, right. With the details.
I don't know how to punch it back. I've been in tornadoes before in Snyder, Texas, in the bathtub with mattresses over our heads.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean.
You don't mess around with those things.
That's serious. No, sir. Not out there. I mean.
I was in this building when the one that hit downtown Nashville. When was that? 2003 or something?
No, it was. I was going to book a gig downtown. That was 1997 or 98.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I go out in the parking lot of this building.
Maybe.
I'd never seen one before.
98.
But the clouds were green.
I know. I mean, it's nothing to play with.
They were rotating. And I was like, holy cow. No, and then so you look down toward downtown, down toward NES.
Yes.
And all the transformers started popping, like pop, 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 like exploding.
I've seen that.
And then, boom, it just dropped right out of the sky. We came inside and everybody was in the hallway, you know, in the tornado position. They're like, "Where the hell have you been?" I'm like, "I'm the dumb guy in the parking lot."
We had one in St. Louis when we were there at Earth City with the Rams that hit, and it was myself, the cleaning crew, and the security guy in the building. I mean, but that stuff's scary. It's not something to play with, and that's serious stuff.
Yeah, we were joking about the radar, but yeah, not that stuff.
Got to go down to see Dean Pease yesterday, switching to a good subject.
Yes.
Man, he looks good. He looks healthy.
Doesn't he, Mick?
Great hearing him talk.
Said he feels great.
No. I talked to he and Arthur both before the press conference, which I was at with Mickey, and, you know, talked to Dean before. Of course, the first thing he and I talked about was how much we love the Super Bowl. You know,
because two old defensive guys watching it go.
I mean, both of us had big smiles on our face, you know, and I just went over it twice again. You know, I can't quit watching it, but he looks great. Dean looks great. And look, that's a big get, you know, for this club and that franchise. And I know Mike Vrabel is very happy to have him back, but I agree with you, Mickey. He looked great. And he did a great job. Of course, he always does, but he's a ball coach. I love him. And then Arthur, I thought Arthur Smith did an extremely good job because, you know, I've done this and your first press conference and you know, and I just know going through my career, you know, when I was young and the first big press conference that I ever had, I mean, when I interviewed for the Bears job, one of the things was you had to do a press conference with the Chicago and the national media because everybody was up there. And if you're not prepared, but not only not prepared, the thing I liked what Arthur did, and I told he was just himself,
right? Yes.
And that's what you have to be, and so
that's what you do.
No, yeah, but nobody, you know, if he didn't know Arthur Smith because he draws no attention to himself, and he's one of the most less ego coaches I've ever been around in my life, but when you listen to him and you talk, you can tell how thoughtful he is, how intelligent he is, how prepared he is. I mean, I was extremely, extremely, I was really happy for him. The the way that he did it, because everybody got to hear and listen. And look, you know that just if you're listening and you have confidence in what he's saying, you know those players have had confidence for years to what he said, because he's so well prepared. And there's nothing contrived nor non-authentic about Arthur Smith. He's as good as there gets.
Talking about Dean Pease, Coach, he said that he thinks the Titans are very close defensively. He said he expects year two to be much better.
Well, and he would know. And Dean's system, now you've got to learn that system, you know, and but Dean would know, because Dean has coached some very good defenses, including the one that he coached here last year. So he, you know, when he talks about something being close, and he knows good from bad. I mean, that's something that you get, you know, as I say, and that's what I'll say a lot, is after 33 years, I know good from bad in this league when you see it, and there's no reason to be anything but honest about it when you are seeing it. And Dean Pease is, again, as I said, I'm so happy, you know, for the franchise, and I'm so happy for those players that they get to have him back again, because, I mean, that's special.
We had Arthur Smith on yesterday at 4:30, also, I think his first interview outside of that media setting, and obviously asked him about his offense moving forward, and you know, he takes a big picture look at it, because you really don't know detail wise right now. But he did say, you know, we want to be the kind of system that plays off of mismatches, but also and primarily we want to be physical.
Well,
that's the core of what we will be.
Yeah, and that's true. And look, Arthur's worked on both sides of the ball in the National Football League, mm-hmm. which is a huge, huge advantage. And being physical entails much, much more than just turning around handing the ball off. That's a mindset for everybody in the organization. I mean, it really is. And you know, it incorporates everything into it, and the work that you have to put into it. But look, Arthur Smith, And people are going to find out and realize, and I know that he'll have, you know, his time with the press every week now that he's a coordinator, but you're going to get exactly what we got in that press conference every time from him: consistency, honesty, and I'm so happy about the decision, because first of all, it was a great football decision. And the other thing is you reward good work, you know, in this business, and he's laid down good work for a long time in this business.
He probably has the best working knowledge of the current Titans roster than anybody literally walking this earth, because he's been there through the acquisition of every one of those guys.
Mickey, absolutely. And then you talked about that, you know, when we were there. I mean, and that's 100% true, because he's seen it, and he's seen it from a lot of different perspectives.
Right.
You know, and he's seen it, you know, from the ground up. And again, the viewpoint that you look at it, you know, with is extremely important too, because you can get clouded sometimes if you're looking at things with an agenda. You know, and he has looked at it, you know, from a viewpoint of, first of all, and you heard him say it, you know, in the press conference, and he said, I just kept my head down and worked. And so all he was doing was making observations and cataloging things that he liked, that he didn't like, that he would do, that he wouldn't do. And when you put that much thought into it, you know, I've been through it. I interviewed for 3 head jobs in this league, and I know, you know, you have to have a plan, but the first thing that you have to do, and he did it, which I'm so proud of him for, is when you do a good job with the job you have and you're not looking ahead to the next job, right, that's when you're genuine.
But that's everybody in life. Where you are now, do the best job at it. It's okay to think about the future, but focus on right now and do the best at right now. He embodies that guy.
Well, he really does. And again, you know, when you're coaching in this league, because it's such an immediate league, I mean, every day, and that's the first thing you have to teach young players when they come into it, because they come into it, you know, with a vision of, you know, they see the Super Bowls, and they right. see, you know, all the glitz and the glamour, which there is. I mean, it's a great, great thing to be involved with, and that's why we all love it. You know, our fans are, I mean, that's why you love it, just because of the spectacle of it. But at the same time, it's a daily grind. It's a daily grind, and you've got to break it down to the minutia of, you know, daily in the classroom, daily on the football field, daily what you do taking care of your body. And those types of things are important, not only for players, but for coaches.
National Signing Day today. You remember your days as a high-profile 5-star recruit?
Yeah, Snyder Fighting Tiger. Snyder Fighting Tiger. Yeah, I was, you know, I was fortunate. You know, I took 5 visits. You know, I was recruited by, you know, several Southwest Conference schools at the time, TCU, SMU, Texas A&M, Texas Tech.
Boy, the and Southwest then, Conference, man.
No, it was real. And I told you, I visited San Angelo State because Grant Taft, who's from my hometown, was the secondary coach at Texas Tech at the time, recruiting me, and he got his first head coaching job at San Angelo State, and so he asked me to come visit, and so I did. But anyway, I enjoyed the process a lot. You know, I come from a single parent household with my mother, and we had no idea, you know, what it was about and what was going on. But just to take a visit to some of those schools, I mean, I can remember growing up, we'd go up to Texas Tech to watch those games because it's only 88 miles exactly, because Post Texas is 44 miles between, and that's first liquor store you could find in West Texas between Snyder and Lubbock was 44 miles, you know, away in Post. Going up there watching Donnie Anderson play.
Right.
You know, when Donnie Anderson was at Texas Tech, and of course, that's when SMU had Jerry Levias and some people that know anything about, you know. So anyway, you know, I've seen a lot of games up there, and that's where I thought I was going to go to school. But once I started being recruited, and my hometown's a big TCU, you know, kind of recruiting ground, but I loved it. I enjoyed recruiting. When I coached, the 13 years I coached in college, you know, I enjoyed the recruiting aspect of it. You know, I really did. And because I recruited.
I could see that about you.
No, I recruited schools all over the country. I mean, I was in, you know, and I was in inner city schools, you know, in Houston and Dallas, you know, in Fort Worth, in Chicago, New Orleans. I mean, I covered the country pretty good, and I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed
mamas
recruiting.
And grandmas enjoyed talking to you.
Sometimes they did, yeah. and if they didn't at first, I made sure they did later on. You know, I just wanted to be, but you know, I enjoyed going out and
I don't even know what any of that means.
I enjoyed going out and finding kids and you know, and plus, you know, just giving, you know, kids an opportunity to come do something and so many great, you know, some of the kids I recruited end up coaching in this league, right, which was a real thrill for me, and you know, and that I'd recruited and then gone on and done well in college and got a degree and then came into coaching, and then some of them got to this league. I mean, it's very gratifying, but I love the recruiting process. I really did.
Can you believe that signing day is the national holiday, big monstrosity? Well, there's two now, early signing day and regular signing day. Can you believe it's gotten as big as it has?
No, you know, Mickey, it's different now than it was, you know, back then, because I can remember, you know, when I was first started recruiting, we had no cell phones.
Right.
Okay, you had no cell phones, and so if you wanted to make a call to a kid and be sure he was going to be at the house, you stopped at a payphone, you know, and there was no GPS. You didn't have any of that. You had one of those Rand McNally maps that folded out across your dashboard, and you had circled in red where those schools were.
Kids listening now don't know anything about what you're talking about.
No, but look, when you're driving, you're driving to the inner city schools in Chicago, I mean, you got to have some maps that you figure out how to get there and you know, and what to do, but the recruiting process of it, I mean, a lot of those schools I would go into is, you know, you wouldn't have any film to watch, and so you'd have to watch a kid play basketball, and you'd have to watch him run track, and you know, and get to know him and get to know his people, and I mean, the whole thing was, I really enjoyed it a lot. It's changed a lot now. I mean, it's clearly changed a lot. I think the national signing date, you know, now that the early signing date's in, it takes a little bit of the, you know, a little bit of the sizzle off of it.
Right.
But it's still, I think it's, you look, it's the lifeblood of college football. And if you're not a recruiter, and if you're a head coach and you don't recruit, you know, especially if you're in a Power 5 school, well, then you're going to have issues, because that's what you have to do. You have to get the players.
It's such a different animal than the NFL game into recruiting. It's two different worlds.
No, it's completely different, because, you know, in the NFL, you know, once I got in the NFL, I went, we don't have to go ask them if they want to come. I mean, you know, you take them, they're there, you know, and it's,
I'll be over here grinding on some tape.
Yes. I mean, it's a completely different world, but I loved it. I really did. I coached, you know, at major college football for 13 years. I really enjoyed it, and I enjoyed the relationship with the players, but I did enjoy the recruiting process, both as a student athlete when I was being recruited, and then also as a coach when I was doing the recruiting.
It had to be cool to kind of watch the evolution of a kid turning into a man, but also watch that career flow too.
Yeah,
like you recruit a kid and then you watch him excel in college, and the next thing you know, he's in the NFL. But the whole you know, being a part of that process, I would think from a college coaching perspective, that would be that would be enticing to me to be a part of helping someone shape who they are.
No, it really is. And I mean, and to me, and again, look, every kid's not going to be an NFL player, but the things that they get, you know, from being able to, you know, to first of all have that experience and then go to school, get a degree and see the, some of the things, some of those guys that, again, I mean, we're talking 40 years ago that I've, you know, I'm still close with that, you know, have gone on to do well in business, have raised great families and those types of things. I mean, that stuff is important because that's real life. And that was, it was a lot of fun. I enjoyed it. And it's, and I got a different aspect of it, you know, when I became an NFL coach, because then you go into the workouts and you see the kids that have, you know, have come through the recruiting process. And still to this day, I mean, I keep up with the recruiting, you know, a lot, because those are going to be the same guys that, you know, 3 or 4 years from now are going to show up at the combine. And 3 or 4 years from now are going to be, you know, I keep up with, you know, with college recruiting a lot.
We talked about Dean Pease earlier, Coach, and he said he thinks they're very close defensively. He said expect year two to be better. How much of an advantage is it? That's not even the right word. How much more can he do year one to year two implementing this defense?
A lot. Look, this league has changed so much. When I first got in it, when we didn't have free agency or salary cap, we knew every year that Mike Singletary is going to be our middle linebacker. We knew every year Gary Fensick's going to be our safety, or that Otis Wilson, Wilbur Marshall, Dan Hampton, Richard Dent.
Right.
They were going to be our defensive players. You knew Walter Payton's going to be your running back. And so what you were able to do is build year to year to year. You were able to, you know, it's like stacking Lego blocks. You were able to piece it together from year to year. And once you started being able to build that type of continuity and consistency, you could say, hey, Mike, remember what we did? You know, remember what we did, you know, a couple of years ago? You know, here's, you know, those types of things are hard to do now in the National Football League just because you're constantly moving your people. I mean, you're going to roll 30% of your roster every year. Yeah. That's just the way it is. And so you ask me, that's why continuity is so important. And I think, you know, we're seeing a great example of continuity from the coaching aspect of it. Just look and see who's got 6 trophies, you know, and how many coaches have changed in the National Football League since Bill Belichick was named head coach there. You know,
it's like 184. It's something ridiculous.
Yeah, I was one of them. I was one of those 184. So it's just the reality of it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, but that's organizations that you work for, but the patience that, you know, that Robert Kraft had when he took it over, they weren't great,
right.
You know, but the patience to stay with it and then the continuity, I mean, it means something. You know, it really does. And so with Dean Pease staying here, he can build on what he has started with these guys, because, you know, he'll lose some guys just like you always do. He'll have some guys that he will keep, and then they can teach others that come in, and then he'll add to it. So it's huge. It's big.
How cool was it for you to see Kevin Mawai get that Hall of Fame?
I just talked to him today.
Yeah.
I just talked to Kevin today, and I told him. I mean, I was so happy because, look, that's the 7th guy I've been involved with on a team that's in the Hall of Fame. Wow. You know, and it's special. I mean, it really is. And when I was talking to Kevin today, you know, I told him, you know, first of all, congratulations. Very well deserved, well earned. You know, and I know Paul, you know, Paul Kaharsky's on which is a selection committee, which is it's a big honor. It's a big responsibility. I know a lot of those guys that are and have talked to a lot of them during this process. I do every year because I've done it for 33 years. And they'll say, Mac, you know, you coach this. I mean, 33 years, I've either been on teams with them or have coached against them, you know, and have competed against them. And so when they're all, you know, trying to get, you know, some more input as far as to who's who that they've got up, Kevin Mawai, you know, it embodies what it's about. I mean, you know, here's a guy that played for 3 different clubs. He was a critical factor with every club that he played for. And then playing the position like he played it, just from a defensive aspect looking at it, those types of centers that were mobile,
right,
were able to pull and get to the second level, were able to identify things. And plus, Kevin Mawai was tough. I mean, he was a horse. Now, he was there all the time. He was there. He was constantly there, just like Mike Munchak was constantly there. You don't get into the Hall of Fame, you know, unless you're there and available, you know. And to me, he was so well-deserving of it. I was so happy that he got in, because it's tough. Anybody that's up for it is deserving. But the selection, those guys have a hard, you know, those are hard choices. Right. Now, what Kevin going in, I think, will be able to do, it'll break the log jam for Fanica, for Bocelli, those types of guys. But I was so happy for Kevin Mawai. I talked to him today. He's coaching at Arizona State.
Yep.
You know, he's down there. You know, I talked to him. I think he was just, you know, between practices. And he is so thankful, and it means so much. You know, all those guys I've ever been involved with on a team, once they get into it, I mean, it all of them, when they sit back and reflect on it, it's an emotional thing, because just think about that accomplishment and for your family and for everybody that's ever helped you along the way. I mean, that's a huge, huge honor. I'm so happy for him.
Coach Mack with us until 4 o'clock every Wednesday, presented by Farm Bureau. Coach Mack, do you think wide receiver is a position of need early in the draft or through free agency?
You know what? And I think right now it's too early to say anything.
Okay.
You don't say anything right now. I mean, you've got to look at open at all avenues. And I think, what Mike Vrabel says and what John Robbins says, 100%, you're looking to improve your football team. And so now, however that works out, that's what you do.
This point in time, as a coach and a coaching staff, you are like, from 300 feet out, looking at your team.
Well, right, and especially, I mean, it's different. It's different from your scouting department, because they've been working on this all year.
Right.
Both the pro side of it and the college side of it. They've been out gathering all of this information. Your coaches haven't. If they've been tunnel visioned on game planning and everything, they've just decompressed from the season. Now the thing you're going to do is, you know, they'll bring people to them, free agency wise, that, you know, they'll want them to look at. And then also they'll start to narrow down a list of people they would like them to look at for the draft. And Mickey and I were talking, and what you do, you know, as a staff right now, I mean, you're going to split your days, and they're long days. They're going to half the days, and they'll work half of it on their playbook, you know, looking at their cutups. You've got your cutups now. You're reevaluating what you did. You're reevaluating. And again, sometimes it's good after a season is over as a coach to kind of step back from it, because the immediacy of the moment sometimes, you know, when you take the emotion out of it and then you start really looking and evaluating what you've done, where you have excelled or where you have fallen short, then after the season's over, you can step back and look at it with a little bit more of an objective mind. And when you do that, and they're going to split their days. They're going to split their days between doing that and then starting on the free agency and then starting on the draft. And so this is a pretty intensive time. The league changed a lot, because once free agency came in, well, then that changed a whole lot of what you did when you weren't playing football.
When the media relations guys for the Titans came in yesterday before Coach Pease and Arthur Smith spoke to the media, they said, hey, don't ask them about personnel stuff right now. It's just not anything they're going to be talking about. And you and I were talking about that, the commercial break, and you said they're not talking about it just because it's not even on their minds. It starts now, but it hasn't been on their minds. That's why they weren't going to talk about it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, bad information is better, no information, is better than bad information. You want to gather everything first. And then this is not the time. I mean, all of these, it amuses me a little bit, when you start to look at these mock drafts that are already out.
What's funny is that they change.
And some people have already put out 7-round mock drafts.
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know what? Those dudes, somebody needs to hire them, because if you can figure out sitting right here now in February,
right,
how everybody's going to pick, you know. So, but anyway, it's fun to watch. It's fun to look at, you know, for people. And again, the interest of it is genuine, and it's huge. And that is important. It really is. But at the same time, the reality of it is you've got to start with a wide view, and you start to get it narrowed down. And John Robinson and his people will narrow it down for Mike Vrabel and his staff, you know, as to the people that they want to look at. And then, of course, there are a lot of variables that go into this until you start, you know, to put your final squad together. When you get to training camp, and even when you're in training camp, Mickey, you and I stood there on practice, and you watch guys roll in and out during training camp. I mean, you're
literally
always
in and out sometimes in a day or two.
I mean, it's like when you go, you know, fishing for sharks, you're constantly chumming the water,
right.
You know, you're trying to.
Yeah, I'm never going to do that.
Okay, well, don't. but you're constantly trying to turn it, because it's important. I mean, it really is, and you've got to stay on top of it. And John Robinson and his group do a tremendous job of it, and so do Mike's coaches.
So you've got like 11 weeks until the draft. So it's just the kind of thing that ramps up. And so you're in an evaluation period, and then I would think that the scouting department meets with the general manager and the coach from time to time, and what are you thinking about these positions and these dudes, and who do we need to look at? Who do we need to bring in? Absolutely. So a lot happens in these 3 months.
A lot. And it's, and as I said, these are intensive days because, you know, and it's, you know, when people say, well, what do you do during the off? There is no off season. I've already started to watch, you know, guys for the draft.
Right.
You know, that's what I've been doing now. I'm going to start, I've ramped that up, starting to do that just to look at them. So I'll know, you know, who's who, because we're going to do a draft show. And, but it, you start to do that, but it's pretty intensive now. I mean, people ask, what do you do during the off season? There really is no off season. There's only a time of the year where you don't play games.
Right.
But there's, you're never really off, because there's so much that has to be done immediately. And I mean, no greater example of it than, I mean, and that's why, again, it's so impressive what Bill Belichick and those guys have done there, because when you go to the Super Bowl and win it, I mean, you've already, some teams have already had a lot of time to start this process.
Right.
You know, well, those guys right. have been trying to win the Super Bowl, you know, which they did. So, I mean, it's a pretty intense thing, but it's all worth it.
It's got to be interesting, too, because, you know, back in the day, you would go through this grind and nobody even paid any attention.
No.
Now everybody every day is paying attention to everything that's going on in the NFL. And to the NFL's credit, they dominate every month of the calendar year now.
My first draft, we did it all in one day. It's 12 rounds. I mean, you just sat there and bang, you know, and there was no – I mean, look, it's changed a lot, a whole lot. And, you know, people were still putting teams together and still winning games. But the way it is now, it's tremendous.
The whole world is going to be right over here, down the street,
look, you can't believe how much I love that for me, first of all.
Oh, about all the Coach Mack stuff you can do.
No. I love that. But, I mean, for our fans and for this city, you know, for our listeners, for everybody that's involved with that, for the Titans, it's a huge honor, you know, it's going to be great. It really is. And it's a fabulous thing to be involved with. As I said, I've been involved in, you know, 32 drafts now. I mean, it's a fabulous thing to be involved with. And then to be able to bring it to your city and to have it here where everybody can participate in it. I mean, it's great.
A lot of people said they're turning their attention, because they love football so much, to this Alliance of American Football.
You know, those people.
Yeah. And so Memphis and Birmingham are going at it. I just saw from the MusicCityMiracles.com guys that there are former Titans involved in this league all over the place, and Zach Mettenberger is the quarterback for the Memphis team. Yeah.
I'm going down to that game, Birmingham, on Sunday.
Boom!
Yeah, I'm gonna go watch, because, you know, Mike Singletary, you know, is the coach, you know, the Memphis team, and Tim Lewis, longtime coach,
Memphis Express.
Yeah. I'm going down there to watch that game. You know, I'm gonna go down there to see, because look, that's a real thing, and to me, it's a great opportunity. You know, and I just, and you know, this the Alliance is a big thing. They just had all their teams just left San Antonio. They were there for a month with training camp. The technology that they're going to introduce to the game that Charlie Ebersole has done is fabulous. I mean, this is it's going to be very interesting. Yeah, I'm driving to Birmingham to watch it. You know, I want to go see.
You know what
it.
Else is in Birmingham, don't you?
Yeah, that motorcycle.
No, even
museum.
Better. Whataburger.
Do they really have one?
Yes, sir. Three.
Oh, yeah,
they have three of them.
I'm going to bring you back a sack.
Oh, I love it.
Okay.
I may just get in the car and go with you.
That you're more than welcome.
Talk ball and have Whataburger.
Try to read that kilometers per hour thing.
Yeah, yeah. I'll calculate speed for us.
I have no idea how fast I'm driving.
Just as long as you're driving, that's fine. Christian Hackenberg is actually the starting quarterback, beat out Mettenberger. Tennessee fans will recognize some of these names on that Memphis team. Former Vanderbilt and NFL player Zach Stacy. Tennessee fans.
Zach at the Rams.
Yeah. Rajon Neal, Pig Howard, Dallas Thomas, Corey Vereen, Montori Hughes, Colton Jumper, Justin Martin. You're gonna have a good time down there, man.
Oh, I will. I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I've already talked to those guys. I'm gonna be there in full Coach Mack mode. They had, you know, but this is a you know, they have their selection process. It's regional,
right?
So guys,
got all those guys you know on your team.
Absolutely, and I think it's gonna be an interesting thing, and the league, it's good for the league, because guys, there's so many guys out there. There's only so few slots in the National Football League,
right?
And there's a, you know, I mean, that's why I loved NFL Europe when it was going on. It gave you a chance to have some guys, you know, do some things, and it just got so prohibitive expense-wise, you know, over there. But this, I like this idea. I think Charlie Ebersole and Bill Polian, I mean, they had a great idea.
Dave McGinnis, brought to you by Farm Bureau. Coach Mack, good to see you, man. Thank you.
Are we done already?
We're done.
Already done.
Thanks to the listeners. This is fun.
All right.
See you.
Hashtag Coach Mack on Twitter. He's not on Twitter, but the hashtag is there. You can make Coach Mack viral. That will make him happy. Coming up.